Hello everyone, welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This is a little short episode that Andrew Buckner and I recorded last night at the Dream Jukebox at the Looking Glass Lounge in Washington, D.C. It's very short, it's very fun, it's inappropriate for people in their 30s to do what Andrew did. That's what makes it fun. Anyways, before we begin, quick plugs. Tonight, which is May 6, 2016, I'll be at the Wonderland Ballroom hosting You, Me, Them, Everybody live. It is our last show in D.C., in May, and it's only May 6th, because on May 21st, I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I think I got all the dates right. On Saturday, May 21st, I'll be in Atlanta for You, Me, Them, Everybody Live at the Crom Comedy Festival. Our Crom show in 2015 was our best live show, so try to come out to that if you are available, and in Georgia. So, two requirements that most of you will not fit. And then on Thursday, May 26th, You, Me, Them, Everybody Live returns to The Hungry Brain in Chicago, Illinois. I think I got the date on that right. I really hope I do. I'm very, very excited to do that show. So, yeah, without further ado, here's Andrew Bucket with stories of Jamaica, reggae, orgy, and filter.
Do you remember that?
Kinda, not really.
I was there with Lisa. I was still dating Lisa.
So it's like 5 years ago?
4.
Okay. So... we're currently in the midst of DJing at the Dream Jukebox at the Looking Glass Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a fun time.
Just played some good Meatloaf.
No, you played a song Meatloaf wrote.
A song Meatloaf wrote. He's written a lot of songs. He's like Prince. He's like a fat theatrical prince.
Meatloaf is the white man's prince, is what you're saying.
The fat white theatrical man's prince.
Okay, but while we were talking, you mentioned something that I was like, oh, we need to podcast about that, because it's such a fun story.
Okay.
You... To give it some color, it is currently Cinco de Mayo in the neighborhood of Petworth in Washington, yeah. D.C. It is 10:50 p.m., so you're going to hear some noise. Anyways, Andrew and I talked about how much money we spent on CDs
right. In
the 90s and the aughts.
And then I brought up that I worked at Tower Records when I was 8. As soon as I turned 18, I got a job at Tower Records, and I was like the white reggae aficionado. And really dug deep. Like, I was into the deep, deep, deep cuts of reggae. I was into like, you know, Augustus Pablo and all, like, deep shit like that. So, point is, I had this, you know, so I went to St. Croix, the island of St. Croix, with my parents.
When you were 19.
When I was 19.
So after a year of Tower experience,
uh-huh.
you were finally ready to go.
And I was like the guy, like if a customer came in, they were like, I'm just looking for something like, you know, like a deep cut, like something like that. And I was like, I got you covered. And I would give them a whole palette of things to check out from reggae. I was really like the reggae guy. So we go to the island of St. Croix. We're in a taxi cab. And this is me like trying to be in my element. Like I was like, these are my people, you know, me, the white boy from... So anyway, we're in a taxi cab. The cab driver is talking to us about music for some reason, and then my sister says to the cab driver, well, my brother's really into reggae. And he kind of, like, gives me a side eye in the rearview mirror, like, to, like, see, like, oh, yeah, what's up? Well, what are you into? And then I was about to, like, give a whole laundry list of the shit I was into that's, like, cool, like, street cred stuff. And then my sister just talks before me, and she goes, well, he's really into Bob Marley. And then I'm just like, no! And I couldn't... You can't recover from that. I tried to, like, name some things, but it just sounded like I was overcompensating.
Have you been back to...
The Isle of St. Croix? No, I won't show my face. Too embarrassed. That cab driver spread the word.
So,
there's some imposter white boy here that's a...
On the same trip, your parents did something fun and exciting.
Well, no, it's a different trip.
Oh, a different trip?
It's a different trip that I didn't go on. My parents went to Jamaica, and I guess while they were in Jamaica, they were like, well, when in Rome. So they were like, went up to somebody that worked at the hotel, and they're like, Wagwan, we are looking to get Irie. And then the guy was like completely gracious and nice, and he was like, oh, you want to buy some weed? And they were like, yeah. And my parents haven't done weed since...
Done weed?
They haven't done the pot since 1977. So they were like... Okay, well, so just if you can procure the ganja for us, that would be great. And the guy was, like, completely gracious and nice, and he was like, yeah, sure, whatever. So my dad's just like, so what does pot run these days? And he hands him $200. So the guy's like, oh, I Riemann. And then he, like, runs off and brings my parents back a CVS plastic bag full of weed.
Holy shit.
And so my parents are just like, what the fuck? And they have a mountain of weed. And they were just, like, expecting to get, like, a joint or two joints. So they pay the guy an additional fee. I don't know what they paid him to roll the joint, but he rolls the joint. And then they get so high that they just remember why they stopped doing this in 1977. Because they're not weed people. They're a little straight-laced. And so they're, you know, in Jamaica at a resort, and they have this pile of weed that they paid $200 for it that they need to get rid of. So they start tipping everyone in weed. I feel like this is offensive, right?
Why is it offensive?
I don't know. Well, because, I mean, it's very telling.
What
but
your parents did, or are you telling the story?
What I want to illuminate is that they are,
they're white people.
They're white. They're well. They're white, well-to-do people in Jamaica, which is, to their knowledge, the land of weed. Jamaica's constitution has the word weed in it 47 times, according to them. Which, and I have Jamaican. I mean,
can I? Doing it now.
I'm qualifying. I hate this. So, anyway, point is, they did that, and then they started tipping in weed. But I don't think the people were mad about it. I'm sure they were like, oh, that's very, yeah, I do want weed. Fine. I work in a fucking hotel.
What year was this?
This was in 2000. This was the Obama years.
Part one?
This was not the Bush years.
Okay. So this is relatively recent.
I think this is Obama part one.
God damn.
But so, no, but I've, and anyway, so they came back and they, my sister knew about it because my sister was there. But they wouldn't tell me about it because I think still they have this residual, like, we don't want to make it seem like weed is okay. So they kept it a secret. And then my sister told me, and then I kind of called them out about it. And then they were, like, very sheepish. And they were like, well, you know, well, when in Rome. And so, like.
All right, well, let's do one last story.
Okay.
We went in the past. We mentioned a lot of years. And last night, you went back in time.
Oh, I went to see Filter and Orgy last night.
Once again, this is May 5th, 2016.
Okay, so Filter and Orgy were popular at the same time when I was in high school. And Filter was just kind of like your generic quasi-incubus-y.
I would disagree strongly,
but
okay.
What I noticed last night is that Filter is basically 4-inch nails. It's if you don't want all 9 inches of the nails, you
well,
go.
Well, you know Richard Patrick was in 9 Inch Nails, right?
Which one is him?
The singer, guitarist, the only one that's the original
was
member.
Was in Nine Inch Nails?
Yes.
Oh, well, so then I drew a fucking great conclusion.
Yeah, he was a touring member of the band.
I'm more astute than I give myself credit
sure,
for.
Sure, sure, yes.
But no, he was just like a backline guy for Nine Inch Nails?
No, he was the main guitarist for the Broken era. So post Pretty Hate Machine.
Yeah.
Part of Pretty Hate
Broken
Machine.
Broken era.
Broken's the best. Broken is their best EP, easily. 92, 93. I don't think he was on the Downward Spiral tour.
I'm a Pretty Hate Machine.
Yeah, because he joined. Yeah, because Filter's first record came out in '95, so he was off the tour.
Anyway, so I saw them in Orgy, and Orgy's biggest hit was
New Monday.
Was overwrought cover of New Order's Blue Monday, which is already fine. There's no improvements you're going to make to Blue Monday, but they tried. Did they try ever? And last night, this is the difference between Filter and Orgy. Filter went on and they owned. It's only him.
Richard. Well, there's like five guys
name?
In the band. Richard Patrick.
Okay, so he owned his agedness, and he surrounded himself with a bunch of 20-year-olds as a backline.
Richard Patrick currently looks like a very attractive congressperson. He's got gray hair, but he's still in shape.
He looks like a gray-haired, skinny Michael Showalter.
You're not. You think you're throwing a net, but you're actually making it smaller. When
oh,
you're like,
well, that's everyone's gonna get what that means.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Anyway, point is, Orgy is the all original lineup. They've stuck together in the interim of what 17 years since their overwrought cover of Blue Monday, and then they are wearing the same outfits. The same outfits. The singer was wearing a flowy cape. One guy was wearing a choker with a like a silver cross on it. A choker, mind you. And these guys are... all you think about when you see them upstairs with their Hot Topic getup is like, you guys are... You must have families and mortgages. Are you parading around the house in these get-ups that you have on? And how can you take... The thing about Orgy is it's like this mall goth youth music, but it's like they are not youth. They're more like mall walking goth. Like, they show up on Sunday morning to walk around the mall in a goth sweatsuit or something.
How many... Okay, so you went because it was a free ticket.
I got a free ticket, yeah. And I went, and I was...
Why did you go? Because your friend wanted
to go? Well, I wanted to see it. Also, it was... because I'm 32 years old, I have a friend that was obsessed with Orgy in high school, and so she wanted me to take notes about what they were wearing and maybe their dispositions, like if somebody was clearly not into it. She wanted me to
see... Was everyone into it?
Yeah, but like to a degree where it's like, what shows are you guys playing where... This is a disappointment, because there was literally 40 only. This is the Howard Theater, which is like a 1,200 capacity venue. There's 40 people, enough to line the stage three in
you
a row.
I have shared multiple bills at the Howard Theater.
Oh, I've done the Howard Theater, and I've done it when it's empty. And when it's empty, it is cavernous.
Empty for us was like 100, 200 people, and it was like, oh, this is horrible.
Even that, because they have this humongous dance floor. So if they
40
don't,
people.
No, and so. I brought 3 stink bombs.
What?
Which I bought on Amazon.com. You can buy stink bombs, and they come in a little glass vial. And I brought 3 of them, and I rolled one under everybody's feet, and then I just waited.
During what song? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was during...
Orgy song?
She dreams in some... No, it's during Orgy.
She dreams in digital.
She dreams in digital! Yeah, it was during that. I rolled it, and I just waited. And then, like a fit of petty terrorism, I just, like, set this thing off, and then I waited for the, you know, carnage. And then... Somebody steps on it, and then, lo and behold, it smells like absolute egg farts. And it wafts up to the singer, and in the middle of She Dreams in Digital, he goes, "All right, who's 7 years old and did a stink bomb? We're trying to play here." I swear to God. And then it goes up, and then... But all these, like, hardcore... Oh, by the way, there was more photographers there than fans. It was, like, people just shooting Orgy for the sake... I know, it's sad. No, it's sad.
It is and sad. You're not helping.
No, them. I know. So I did that, and then... Just to piss him off, during the finale of Blue Monday, he comes out into the crowd with his wireless mic and gets all these dumb, like, Hot Topic assistant managers to, like, sing Blue Monday with him. I roll another stink bomb right into the circle where they're all singing, and somebody steps on it, and you can see, like, the palpable, like, shift in his mood. Suddenly he was like, how does it feel? And he knew, but he couldn't interrupt the finale. And then I had the 3rd stink bomb, which I saved until a filter went on. And during Take a Picture, during the first big, "So you take a picture," I threw it down on the ground so it shattered immediately. I didn't wait for anybody to step on it. And then it just smells like absolute egg fart. And... the singer, what's his name again?
Richard Patrick.
Richard Patrick, because he's a fucking professional, waited till after the song, and he looks at somebody in the crowd, and he's like, "Can you tell me who out there is fucking busting fart? It smells like absolute shit up here." And because he's a professional, he waited till the stage banner to address my stink bomb that I sent off. Also, the singer, Richard Patrick, had an iPad... An iPad at eye level on a mic stand with all his lyrics on it, which he kept touching in between songs to toggle between lyrics like no one would notice. Like, it was like so, it's like just, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. Sometimes they have a teleprompter that sits next to a stage monitor. This guy was just like, "No, I have an iPad. It's at eye level." So anytime he's singing, he was singing to the iPad. Not the crowd, because he needed to see the lyrics. Anyway.
Did you stay for the whole show?
I stayed until the end, yeah, because we wanted to hear "Hey Man, Nice Shot." And then...
And they delivered.
They delivered, but, you know, it was kind of like...
When the band was...
It seemed like a karaoke version of "Hey Man, Nice Shot," which is sad.
When the band was done, did they even attempt to, like... They did an encore? Like, they went back, they went off stage?
They
no?
did an encore, but it's like if Live did a show and then they came
you
back
went
and...
To a, like an Ed Cole, you went to a live show last year.
No, I did go. And what he did was they played Throwing Copper, and then they did an encore of When Dolphins Cry. And everyone's like, yeah, we didn't come to hear When Dolphins Cry. You can just pack it up. Can we get an autograph? Also, they had, as merch at the live show, they had all the lyrics of Lightning Crashes handwritten on a poster for $45. So I took a picture of it with my phone, and I made a PDF. Suckers.
Oh my God, that's the best ending.